Hello and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
All right, I get so emotional with that animated movie, Prince of Egypt. Is it? I highly recommend it. It is really well done and captures the encounter really well. So today we're starting a new series, and I heard a story of a young person moving out on their own, and they're making a big meal, and they're with a friend, and they cut the end off their ham, and to prepare it, and so wait, friend said, well, wait, why you cut the end off the ham? What do you do that for? I don't know. That's what Mom always did. So called Mom, and Mom, why always cut the end off the ham? I don't understand. She said, I don't know. That's what my mom always did. We should call her. And so called Grandma at this point, and Grandma, why do we cut the end off the ham? And just the way we've always done it. You know, let's call Great-Grandma in the nursing home. Grandma, why do we always cut the end off the ham? And she, well, my pan was too small. And what that illustrates something about human nature is that human nature is to move toward tasks and away from reasons. And today, as we begin this new series, Experiencing God, we're going to see that that is a human tendency. We tend to move away from the whys to the whats. How can we, you know, just do the thing, and because this is the way we do it, and we need to ask why. So we're in this series, Experiencing God, and we're starting it off today, and I'm excited for this series. And today we're going to look at encounter toward action as we look at experiencing God's presence. I have a goal in this series, a personal one, because in this series, not only are we going to be looking at encountering God and experience Him, but we're also going to talk about seeking God. And I have a goal, personal goal, through this series to experience God more. I want to be different by the end of this series. And I want to deeply experience God as we're seeking Him together. When I was a little kid, I remember asking a wonderful Sunday school teacher, good-hearted, kind, wonderful Sunday school teacher, asked, Does God still speak to people today? After one of the flannel graph Bible stories. And this wonderful Sunday school teacher said, God only does that for special people. And I wonder how things might have been different if I would have heard at that point what I'm going to tell you today. Because I think, looking at the Bible, that there's a very different answer to that. Today we're going to kind of go backwards through the message. Usually I start with a text and we look at different aspects of it, and I'll bring in other texts as we get there. And today we're going to go backwards in that I'm going to bring in little texts and then we're going to end with our big text. And I'm going to begin with backwards modern churchianity. Christianity I love, sometimes churchianity I'm not too entirely sure about, but one of the things that we see in backwards churchianity is that we go toward tasks rather than reasons. See, I believe that that church is key to our walk with Christ. And so one of our big questions here, are you churched or are you changed? Are you churched or are you changed? See, church, I do believe, is key to our walk with Christ. The community of believers is key to our walk with Christ. I know Sean's attitude last Sunday after church just kept me going all week. I was so excited. Just hanging out with you guys just really affects my walk with Christ. I think it's key, but it is not my walk with Christ. Church is key to my walk with Christ, but it is not my walk with Christ. The Bible is key to our walk with Christ. I love this book. It creates for me a grid of truth that helps me see myself better, see God truthfully, see it affects my view of others and the world, and it helps me understand God. But this is not my walk with Christ. It's key to my walk with Christ, but it is not my walk with Christ. Similarly, I think generosity, self-denial, and generosity is key to our walk with Christ. And more I see how important that is to my walk with Christ. Generosity, self-denial. But that is not our walk with Christ. We often get it backwards. We exchange the reason for the task. So, does God speak today? Well, let's look at a few big verses. One, Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." James 5:17 says, "Elijah was a man just like us." Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." John 14:26 says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And Acts 10:34 says, "Then Peter began to speak and said, 'I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism.'" All of these verses put together and so many more kind of add up to a question. Are we denying ourselves something that we're not meant to deny ourselves? Are we denying ourselves an amazing experience with God? There's importance to this counter, and to our first main text is found in Matthew chapter 7. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. We're going to be heading toward Exodus, but we're going to take a look for a moment here in Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 7, we see the importance of this encounter, that everything flows from this encounter. So Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" This text is profound. It's kind of reaches out and grabs you, because look at this amazing thing. These people are doing good things, prophecy and deliverance and miracles. I mean, if you're expecting somebody to have a direct line to God, it's somebody who's doing these kind of things, right? And yet, sometimes we get it backwards. Even these things can be done without truly knowing Jesus. Jesus said, "I didn't know you." We get it backwards. Everything flows from the know. Everything flows from the know. To know Him. Alongside of that, just staying in 7, moving back to verse 13, Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." See, we find comfort in the crowd, and the majority, though, if we look in the Bible, is never right. And lately, as we look at our government, sometimes we go, "Well, wait a minute, what's going on here?" Right? The minority here, Jesus is saying, few find the right path. And to find our solace, find our strength in our relationship with Him. See, this wide path is never labeled destruction. It's never labeled bad. It's never labeled hell. It's labeled heaven. Well, when I was a kid, back when cartoons were good, the cartoons, remember the cartoon characters, and they would be chasing each other and so forth, and the cartoon characters would often, they would change the sign from bridge out to shortcut, right, to get the other guy. And one of the famous is Wile E. Coyote. Look, he's already up. And, you know, one of the shames of our age is Wile E. Coyote is known for falling off the cliff and not his beautifully accurate and wonderful murals. Look at that. He paints on the side of the cliff a tunnel to catch Roadrunner, right? It's one of these mislabeled roads. And, of course, we always know, right, when we see the show. And by the way, they're all out on DVD. You can get these. These are good. But you know that Roadrunner somehow can run through murals. He just goes into the mural. And somehow, Wile E. Coyote always ends up falling off the cliff, right? That's how it always works. He ends up going off the cliff. But the point of the story is not to believe the labels. The labels aren't always true. And Jesus is saying, wide is the road. And the wide road is never labeled destruction. It's never labeled bridge out. It's never labeled bad. It's labeled good, wonderful. We're all in this place. And no, narrow is the road that leads to life, and few find it. We are on a quest to seek God, to experience Him. Few find this path. And service is key to our encounter with God. Now, I just got done saying a minute ago that all these other things are not key, or they are key, but they aren't the encounter. I just got done saying that prophecy and deliverance and miracles, well, you can do those without even knowing God. Service is key to our encounter, but it is not our encounter. Service, first, is wisdom and strength. Staying in Matthew chapter 7, now moving to verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock." Did you catch that? Wisdom and strength. Wise man whose house is on the rock. Wisdom and strength is found in service, in action, and putting these into practice. Service has a purpose. And now we're moving toward our main text is going to be found in Exodus chapter 3. But first, Exodus 8:1. Moses famously said to Pharaoh in 8:1, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me.'" See, the first half of that is something that we all embrace. We love that part. Let my people go. And by the way, I really think that there are modern day pharaohs today, and there are a whole bunch of people that need to be let go. The cry of Moses needs to echo even into today to say, let my people go. The Lord wants them free. And that freedom cry is contagious. We love that. The second half of that, thus says the Lord, is where it gets real. That they may serve me. True effectiveness in service requires community. It requires truth. It requires generosity. Service is not our encounter with God, but it is key as we seek Him. John chapter 12, verse 26. "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." And you see in this verse, and I'm going through a lot of verses, I know it, but you see in this verse that God is close to the one that follows Him in service. It is key. It is not the encounter, but it is key. And God invites us to an experience with Him. This week, our little birthday boy, Elijah, has been so excited about his birthday. And throughout this week, especially Tuesday, but also throughout the week, but especially Tuesday, he was just itching for the mailbox. And he came to me and he said, "Daddy, will you take me to the mailbox?" And I just couldn't resist that invitation. "Dad, please stay." And I knew, you know, the likelihood of the mail being here right this time, probably not. But he just looked with such excitement, anticipation. "Daddy, would you please take me to the mailbox?" And I said, "Sure, sweetie, let's go." And so I walk him down there and we open him. "No, not here yet." And so we walk back he sits at the couch at the window, and about an hour later, he says, "Daddy, would you take me to the mailbox?" "Sure, let's go." We go, and then the mail truck goes by, and oh my goodness. And I said, "Well, give the mailman a little time to do his job, right? Let's do, give him 15 minutes and we'll go." And then finally he said, "Can we go, Dad?" And I said, "Yes, let's go." And we go, and there's a package he's been waiting for, and it's in there, and he's excited, and yay, and we get it. Wonderful. And this week, that's been the thing. "Daddy, would you take me to the mailbox?" And, you know, I couldn't refuse that. Even though, you know, I knew the mail's probably not here yet, well, you know, I couldn't refuse that. I couldn't refuse that invitation. And even though that's father to son, even though that's your child, and this is an invitation that we too ought to grab our hearts. Service is key to our encounter with God. Service is wisdom and strength. Service is for a purpose. And God invites us to experience Him. That invitation to experience God's presence ought to grab our hearts, just like a little kid saying, "Daddy, would you take me to the mailbox?" It ought to just grab our hearts to want to be with Him. The biblical pattern of encounter is encounter toward action. We see this happening over and over again. Just a few times, Abraham encountered God and was told to go to a land that He would show him. Jeremiah was told to go to the potter's house, and there he would receive a message. Paul was told to go to the Gentiles and their kings, and he was changed. Moses was told, go to Pharaoh. And we see this happening over and over again, encounter toward action. God is at work around us. And now turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 3. In my backwards message. Exodus chapter 3, and we're just going to back up a couple verses in the last few verses of chapter 2 and look at what's going on. So verse 24, God heard their groaning, the slaves, and He remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac and Jacob. So God looked at the Israelites and was concerned about them. And before we even look at Moses' counter, we want to realize that God is at work before Moses is even on the scene. God is at work. He's doing things. He's moving in a certain direction. Before Moses is even aware of what's going on, before the encounter, God is at work around him. God is at work around you as well. God was at work with Moses even before he entered the picture. God is at work around us, right here, today, Freshwater. God is at work around us. A lot of times when we see a need, it captures our attention. And our first response, you know, if I'm being totally honest, is they should do something about that, right? A lot of times that's what they should do something about that. But a lot of times, if we were to open our hearts and sense the Spirit's moving, we would realize that that need that just caught our attention is God working around us and Him calling us, inviting us to an encounter with Him. A lot of times, that is how it works. God is at work around us, and we recognize a need. And God, through that recognition, God is inviting us to encounter Him and meet the need. Encounter toward action. God is at work around us. And the first key to encountering Him is recognizing what He's doing. God is inviting you to an encounter toward action. The experience of God will dramatically change you. It will dramatically change as an encounter toward action. The Bible speaks of all sorts of encounters we have with God. We experience God's love and His presence in worship as we're singing, we're lifting up, and as we worship, we experience God. And we experience God's guidance in prayer. And we experience God in a lot of different ways we see in the Bible. But the most profound experience with the presence of God is an encounter toward action. And that's what Moses experienced. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why a bush does not burn up. Then the Lord saw that he had gone over to look. God called to him, and from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said to him, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And then skipping down to verse 10, So now I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. This encounter is quite profound to me, and it's personal, and it's something God has used to speak to me before. And in this, we see that this encounter dramatically changes Moses. He sees God. Moses stood on holy ground. By the way, ordinary ground plus God is holy ground. Moses met God face to face. God gave Moses an impossible mission, and Moses stood changed, totally confident in God and entirely unconfident in himself. That's one of the first most dramatic changes of an encounter with God, is suddenly we're dramatically confident in God and what He is able to do, and not confident in ourselves. And he rose changed, following close after God. And he was on the verge of seeing very many amazing miracles. The weaknesses that he was so insecure about, we never see. We never see in Scripture, as we look that out, and we'll talk about that more in the series. The burning bush may have been unique, but the encounter itself is not. We see this pattern happening over and over and over again in Scripture, and it's available to us. If we want to experience God, that experience will change us. So, how do we seek an encounter? What is seeking an encounter, and what will we do? First, learn what stirs God's heart. God's heart, God is a person with a personality, a divine person, but a person with a personality all the same. And that personality has things. God, there are things that stir God's heart. Learn what those are. Learn what stirs God's heart in His Word. Secondly, be spiritually alert. Moses saw something that caught his attention. He was alert. Be spiritually alert. Secondly, have a focused invitation in your heart. Have times that you are open-hearted and focused toward inviting God to touch your life, to touch your soul. Quiet time is not to be relaxing time. It's focused time to have an open heart before God, inviting Him. And fourth, be available. Not because you can do it, but because He can do it. So Moses has an encounter. We see the video of that in this marvelous Prince of Egypt film. I highly recommend. And he has this encounter, and it changes him, and it changes history. And God still seeks to encounter us. The circumstances are different. The burning bush is probably most likely different, but the encounter is the same. Ronnie Coleman was Mr. Olympia for 8 years. And if you don't know, Mr. Olympia is a bodybuilding contest. He was Mr. Olympia for 8 years in a row. And he, by the way, is a cop, which is another interesting story. You see him in it. You know, he's just huge. But he has a lot of famous sayings. He's known for being outspoken in the gym with a lot of different quirky sayings. But one of the things he says, and he says it all the time, it's kind of his deal. And you see him, they'll do workouts with Mr. Olympia or whatever, and you'll see him, and he'll do his workout, and he's coming up to this monstrous weight, weighs about as much as a car, you know, and he looks at it and he goes, "Everybody wants to be a bodybuilder. Nobody wants to lift these heavy weights, but I will." That's his line every time. "Everybody wants to be a bodybuilder. Nobody wants to lift these heavy weights, but I will." And then he lifts it. But there's a truth in that, right? You know, I really wish I could play the piano, but I just don't want to practice. Right? Isn't that the way it works? There's a lot of things that I wish, and I just... yeah, but not enough to lift the weights. There's something to this. Jesus said, "My yoke is light." It's easy. Everyone wants to have an encounter with God like Moses had. Everyone wants that encounter. But few, the path is narrow, truly seek Him. I know that this experience is available. God is still encountering people. People are still experiencing His life-changing presence. It's truly an amazing encounter. And it all begins by receiving Him. John 1:12 says, Jesus, speaking of Jesus, "Yet to all who receive Him, to those who believe His name, He gave the right to become children of God." Receive, become. To all who receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Receive, become. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we kick off this series, we are so very thankful for the moms in our life. We pray, Lord, for them. We thank You for the moms in this room, and we pray Your blessing as we honor them. And Lord, as we begin this series, experiencing You, we pray that we would enter a season of life drawing nearer and nearer to You, to encounter Your presence and guidance, in love, in empowerment, but also to action. And Lord, today, for those of us who may feel distant from God, maybe it's been a long time, maybe this will be the first time. Lord, we want to receive You again today. Lord, we want to be Your children, invited into your presence. And so today, Lord, we receive you into our hearts and ask forgiveness for our sin. And we pray, Lord, that you would be Lord of our life. We give you ourselves. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.